Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perot, and I'm very pleased to have with us via Zoom today the Executive Director of PEP, Suzanne Rintoul. Suzanne, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Bob. I really appreciate it.
Now, for anybody who doesn't know, and I imagine that'd be about three or four people maybe, just tell us what PEP is and what it is that you do.
Yeah, so PEP has been open since 2014, and we are a seniors therapeutic center. Our goal is to help keep seniors in their home as long as possible, as well as to look after their caregivers.
And it's amazing, too, because the way that you do that is through a number of activities and in addition to some programs that are running. And one of the things that really jumps out at me was that I remember over the course of the pandemic, so many changes had to be made, and every group, these amazing groups that we have in our communities like yours, weren't saying we can't do this. It's how do we do this? And one of the things that really struck me about PEP over the course of the pandemic was creating programs that seniors could take part in just over the phone, gearing the technology to their comprehension and to their level of comfort. And so when the rest of the world was doing what we're doing right now, Zoom and so on, you folks found ways to engage seniors from their homes so that they would not feel isolated. That's amazing.
Yeah, I have to give a lot of kudos to Pauline Fichette, my predecessor, for that. She was amazing at, she connected with the Good Companions in Ottawa and with ConnectWell in Lanark County. And we were able to provide them with that program. And essentially what we did was we brought the program into their own home as far as their cognitive stimulation, and they were able to socialize with each other. And, you know, we even incorporated a few little exercises that they could do while sitting in the comfort of their own home as well. So, everybody appreciated that. And we still have people that said, can you guys do that Mercury program again?
It's awesome. It really is. And it's just another way that people really thought outside the box as, as we rolled through the pandemic, especially in the early days, and just finding ways to continue to reach out is awesome. And really kudos to everyone involved. That's for sure.
Thank you. And
kudos as well to caregivers. And by the way, it just so happens that today is National Caregiver Day, correct?
It is. Yeah. And that one of the programs that we started during the pandemic was to start to get the caregivers together and to be able to provide them with support, because they were feeling so isolated, overwhelmed. And, you know, that's not just because of the pandemic, right? They feel like that all the time. There's like 4 million unpaid caregivers in Ontario who are supporting family members, neighbors, friends with some sort of a mental or physical disability. So today we really want to recognize the commitment to the role that they have made or that they play. And know that we are grateful for them, we see them, and that we honor them today.
You talk about caregivers as being people who could take care of family members, neighbors, and so on. Maybe, you know, expand on that a little bit. Like when we talk about a caregiver, we're not necessarily talking about a nurse who comes into someone's home. This could be a husband, a wife, a child, and as mm-hmm. you said, a neighbor.
Yeah, so essentially these people have a loved one, or they have a friend or neighbor that doesn't have anybody else that is close to them. And they're basically thrown into a medical field position that they did not apply for and that they know nothing about. And now all of a sudden, a lot of their priorities need to be put on hold while they look after this person that they've chosen to care for.
It really is amazing the dedication that these people have, and it's nice to have a day for them. They probably deserve a whole week or even more, and I'm sure you'd agree with that. Yeah. But really, when we think about caregiving in general, we think about the person who is receiving the care. And I know often in speaking with you folks and with the Alzheimer's Society and other groups around our area, that we need to look at the caregiver as well. They are in need of their own care. They're in need of their own respite. They're in need of different ways that they can cope with what they're going through. And that's something else that PEP can help with.
Mm-hmm. So we've been recognizing that, we've now started a caregiver support group that is on one Friday of the month for PEP's caregivers. And that group is to provide them with some education of the services that are available within our communities, as well as provide them with the time to just share in their triumphs, what works for them, and then to also just chat about what challenges that they're facing. You know, it's just good to have somebody to talk to. We don't always have to have all of the answers to everything, right? They just need someone to listen. So
yeah, and it's the strength in numbers thing, right? Like they sit there and they're talking to someone, and someone may say, you know, I hate feeling this way, but sometimes I feel like blah blah blah, and another person in the room will all of a sudden say, you know what, I have felt that way too. And you can sort of you can add that support, you know, that strength in numbers that I talk about, knowing that you're not alone. That's a huge part of this, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. One of the things that we're really working on now at PEP is a new project, Bob. I don't know if it now is a good time for me to introduce that.
For sure. I was just about to.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, it's really important to the caregivers that they do feel like they are valued. And during the pandemic, of course, there were some more challenges that we're facing. And it became quite apparent to me that we needed some sort of a way to identify that this person could not be alone. The client or patient could not be alone without the help of that caregiver. So the project that we're embarking on and the idea is to have a caregiver identification badge. And this is something that we have been very fortunate to receive a grant from the Perth and District Community Foundation to initiate this project. And we're working along with many other organizations to make this very successful and something that is very well deserved.
So caregiver ID, this is like a great way to I guess prepare in case something like the pandemic happens again. So maybe tell us a little bit how this would have changed things had it been in place before the pandemic started.
Yeah, so this is something that I see as not just during a pandemic, but even before the pandemic, I see that caregivers are not always feeling like they're appreciated or that their opinions or their expertise in their care is valued by other healthcare partners. So we want to make sure that they're feeling like that they are part of that care circle. So the Successful Aging Advisory Committee and the Ontario Caregiver Organization and the Ontario Health Teams are going to work towards making this project something that can make them feel like they're acknowledged, that then they walk into a facility and someone says to them, hello, Jane, it's nice to see you today. And then acknowledging them that they are valued as they walk into that institution, and they don't have to give an explanation in front of anyone why they need to be there, that caregiver ID tag already says to them that this person is needed in this person's life and they are valued.
Every now and then something comes along and you just think to yourself, why isn't this already in place? Because we had so many people who did not have access to loved ones, not just, you know, for what that brings, you know, having a son or a daughter visiting someone who's elderly. I mean, the mental health benefits there are incredible. They get to be with their family. But when that person's also a caregiver, I have friends who are doing this, of course. Mm-hmm. And when they're not able to actually physically go in and provide that care, the physical care and the mental care, you know, why that isn't happening or why that didn't happen before now is just, it's just beyond me. It really is, because they should be considered essential.
Exactly. And I think it took some time for everyone to realize that there were some unintended harms that were happening, right? And that it was very important to incorporate that. And a lot of the long-term care homes have already done that. But my hope is that, you know, when you take your loved one for an x-ray, or you take them to a doctor's appointment or, you know, an eye appointment, that you're never questioned as to why you need to be present. Mm-hmm. And that you can be a value to that provider.
I think I keep going back to long-term care because that's one of the things that was thrust into the spotlight. We always heard about the government regulations and, you know, this is changing and this is changing, but you raised some really good points there. Just taking someone to an appointment, you know, there should be no questions. You have two people who are walking into a doctor's appointment. That person gets called into the appointment. If two people stand up and walk into the room, really, that's just the way that it should be, because that's the situation. That's what it necessitates.
It does. And, you know, Bob, for the most part, I think generally all our providers are very caring people. That's why they went into the healthcare field, right? But we always hear about those, minor incidents or major to incidents to those, that happened to those people. And we don't want to hear any of those stories again. Sure. We want to everybody to feel welcomed and valued.
So give us, and I'm sure it's much more involved than what you're about to say, but maybe give us an idea of how this can roll out in our area and sort of what your next steps are in this process.
Yeah, so we've gotten together with the caregivers, obviously, within our organization. And my hope is that other organizations will also take on the project and we will mentor them. We are in the process of creating a working group. And we are currently looking for working group members, particularly caregivers, to be part of that working group. The working group will have various levels of professionals on that committee, such as from primary care, long-term care, organizations such as ourselves, and also some very experienced people with the Caregiver ID project as well, who are part of the Ontario Health team and providing some consultation for the Ontario Health team at this time. So we're very lucky to have a wonderful group of individuals that will help to bring this to light.
Absolutely. It sounds like you're getting an all-star team here together, which is fantastic. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. Now, when it comes to, precedents, has this been done elsewhere? Are you drawing on some experience? Because certainly learning from best practices is always nice. And then, of course, you have to tailor it to the individual needs of the communities that you're serving and the people that are in it.
Yeah, so the Ontario Caregiver Organization was able to put me in touch with other organizations that had adopted this program, such as the Mount Sinai Hospital, Hotel Dew, and Sioux Area Hospital. It seems to be going well. The caregivers are happy with it, and it just makes the process of communication that much easier. It's going to be nice for a physician to walk into a hospital room and say, oh, that's a caregiver versus, oh, that's the next door neighbor that's just come to have a friendly visit with someone, right?
Yeah.
It just is going to really, I hope to make life easier for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. We're just about out of time, but before we let you go, is there anything else that you wanted to let our listeners know to make sure that they know? And we'll be sure to give out the contact information as well. But is there anything that you really wanted to make sure our listeners know about this before we let you go?
Yeah, I just wanted to let them know that this is obviously not going to be an easy process. There's a lot of education that's going to be required to the facilities that decide to adopt. So hopefully like the long-term care outpatient settings and hospitals, those that want to adopt and recognize the caregiver ID badge will have to go through their education process as well. We'll have to educate caregivers what may be allowed in one institution may not be a policy that is adopted in another institution. So that sort of education will need to be provided before we can put the process into place.
Makes a lot of sense. It certainly does. If people would like to get more information about this, what's the best way for them to do so, Suzanne?
Well, they can send us an email at info@morepep.ca. Or they can give us a call. Our phone number is 613-201-7172.
Perfect. And if they'd like to find out more about PEP in general, morepep.ca.
Yeah. And just my last, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Last remarks is if you know a caregiver, give them a hug today. Tell them what a great job they're doing. Do something kind for them. They really deserve all the recognition that they get today.
Absolutely. Give them a hug, give them a high five, carry them around on your shoulders for a little while, and whatever you can do. It's amazing. Sure. It's amazing work that they do. The dedication is just off the charts. I think of my friend Deb Shea whenever this comes up, and she does such a great job caring for her mother. And she's just one of many who do, but nonetheless, so I think of her today and I wish all the best to everyone who is taking care of somebody on National Caregiver Day. That's
yeah,
for sure.
I think Caregiver ID will be a valuable first step in building a culture that includes caregivers as part of the care team. So I hope that this brings everybody some hope.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having me today, Bob.
You're very welcome. And I think this Caregiver ID thing should probably be at least a provincial-wide initiative. Like, it's something that
that's should, my vision.
Yeah, yeah, it should come up. Anyway, best of luck. I know that this isn't the last time we'll be talking about this, and certainly not the last time we'll be talking with you. Suzanne, thank you so much for being on In Focus today.
Thank you, Bob.
Our guest today on In Focus, PEP Executive Director Suzanne Rintoul. I'm Bob Perreault. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful afternoon.